Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford County Schools, our focus this morning, and Dr. Thomas Taylor, the superintendent of Stafford County Schools here. Dr. Taylor, it's great to have you here. Good morning.
It's such a pleasure. Thanks for having me back, Ted.
I feel like it's been too long since you've been in, so it's good to have you here. How's the school year started?
School year's been great. Happy New Year, we're excited to get 2023 off on the right foot and to talk about a whole host of things that we have going on in Stafford Schools.
Number of things to cover. One of the things I want to talk about this to start off that I think is just really cool is the Stafford School Board has started off the new year, the new 2023, with a student representative on the board, which I think is how did that come about? Because what a great idea.
Absolutely. And before we tackle that, there is one thing that's been weighing heavy on my mind this morning. Recently, there's been a lot of news about the PSAT and students who had received a commended scholar status and a couple other neighboring school systems, Fairfax, Prince William, and other parts of the state, not receiving the recognition that they deserve in a timely manner.
Right.
I'm so disappointed to report that Stafford Schools is on that list. We found out just yesterday that one of our high schools did not report that information to about six of our students. We're very frustrated by that. We empathize with our parents who definitely want that recognition for their kids and what that could mean for some of our kids in trying to pursue some scholarships. I am so sorry to our parents that missed that opportunity. I know that we're working very hard behind the scenes to make it right with them. But on a more positive note, I think that having a focus on kids is just exactly what school systems should be about. And I'm so proud of our school board. From the minute I started in Stafford County in December of 2021, our school board has made this a priority. And it's been a part of a lot of our conversations for the last 14 months. In terms of how might we capture the student voice and the student experience a little bit better in our policy and decision-making process. The school board set out this past summer on how they might amend their policies to allow for this. We are not the only school system in Virginia that has student voice on their school board, and they really were deliberate about the steps that they wanted to take to have a student representative on their school board and have that voice represented. There's a lot of school systems and a lot of states that have this in various capacities. The way that Virginia has this set up, that school boards are allowed to have a student representative, but they only have a voice, not a vote. Mm-hmm. And so the school board in policy tasked the superintendent, me, to come up with a process to select a student, and we came up, I think, with a pretty good process of entertaining applications and going through an interview process. We had dozens of students in all of our high schools that were interested in this position.
That's encouraging.
It was great, and our kids were so enthusiastic and so excited. And I will say that the students that applied, I was so impressed by how much knowledge they had about the role of the school board as a policy body and how they might affect change and their vision and their scope, and how they were not just thinking about their school community, but thinking about Stafford County and thinking about Virginia as a whole in ways that they could be a model and a representative, not just for the students in their particular school, but also as a representative of students everywhere in Stafford County and in the Commonwealth. They had such great ideas about how they might engage with other students in the county, not just the ones that were in their school. And I got to tell you, the two folks that that we settled on as our representatives to the board are exceptional. Catherine Buckman, who is an 11th grade student at Mountain View High School, is our primary student representative. And Meraki Solomon, who is an 11th grade student at Brook Point High School. They are just the very best of the best and just great representatives of the student body. So we're thrilled and absolutely proud of all that they've accomplished.
As I understand it, they wouldn't be involved, or they wouldn't go into when the board goes into executive session. They're not involved in that, but they're involved in everything else that the board does.
That's exactly right. They're not involved in personnel matters, but they have a voice. And there is time in the agenda that's set out for the student representative to report out on activities that they've done to capture voice. They are also offered an opportunity to speak on action items that come before the board, and they are invited to school board work sessions to sit with the board and to discuss these topics with the board and to hear from the student perspective how the decisions of the board might impact students on a bigger scale.
Both sides learn from this. I'm sure each whether you're a board member or a student would learn, and I can see a lot of situations where the board's dealing with something and the student would say, that's not going to work because of ...
I certainly hope so, and I will say that as much of a remarkable experience as this will be for the student representatives who are participating, it will also be a great and enriching experience for our school board members and hopefully for the community at large to just elevate that voice on a more meaningful level, because it's not in everybody's schedule to carve out time on the second Tuesday of the month to come to a school board meeting unless it's a part of your routine or unless it's a part of your schedule. So to have a very deliberate and a very intentional time set aside to hear from our students, I think that this is just going to elevate Stafford County on a whole new level.
It is. Oh boy, it is. I mean, and you're somebody that's in the school, and the school board members are too. But this, to have someone right there, or to even have a school board member that can say, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, I think our school board members do a great job of getting out into schools. And certainly when I'm out into schools, I love having conversations with teachers and staff members and students. And we get little snippets of information. But to have students that are willing to dive in on issues and really to do a little bit of homework in advance when they know that a big policy decision is a front, for them to take that time and to give really thoughtful input, I'm so excited about what the future holds for that position and for our board.
Dr. Thomas Taylor, the superintendent in Stafford County Schools, here this morning. We'll take a break and come back. It's budget time. We'll deal with that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun. Visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Thomas Taylor in this morning, Tuesday night. It's budget time.
It's hard to believe we're right back to budget season again.
It is. I mean, it never ends with you, obviously. But you will present to the community your budget, and then the school board takes it from there. Give us a little peek at some of the things you're looking at.
Well, I would say we've got two big things coming in our budget. Our budget is very people centric. Most school systems, and Stafford is no different. Over 80% of our budget is focused on salaries and benefits for our staff. We are not a school system of things. We are a school system of people. Our great teachers, principals, and staff are the ones that make our school system a great place to work. And this budget will directly reflect that. Recognizing the hard work of our staff that are currently there, as well as trying to focus on how we might recruit other great teammates to join our team. Another big innovation and another big focal point of our budget is that we're presenting not just a fiscal 24 spending plan, but also a five-year sketch of what's to come. Recently, the school board, and I hope we'll talk about this a little later in our conversation, adopted a strategic plan for how we might elevate Stafford County, not just our school system, and really targeting our energies on raising the expectations for achievement and post-secondary outcomes for kids. And we have sketched out a budget plan that aligns with that very aggressive strategic plan. And we're bringing that forward as well, because I think it helps some of our funding partners to recognize not just what we're trying to do in 1 year increments, but what our end game plan is. Where is the journey leading us to? What is the end objective in a period of time, and how might we build up to that? I'd love to say that all of our problems could be solved in 1 year and one big infusion of financial resources, but the reality is that we should be planning, and we should do this incrementally and in chapters. And so I can't wait to unveil the first chapter of this book this year and on Tuesday night, because it will be very targeted to making sure that our schools have the staff that they need to be successful in our strategic plan goals, and also for us to be more competitive in the marketplace in terms of retaining and attracting the very best members of this community as teammates.
I like chapters. That's a nice way to that's really what it is. And that kind of goes back to when Dr. Taylor, when you first came and you talked about that you wanted to be here when the kindergartners last year going into school graduated.
I have tried to make the rounds to as many kindergarten classrooms as I possibly can, and first grade classrooms in particular, because I want to see them in a cap and gown in a dozen years. Mm-hmm. and make sure that they walk across the stage, not just with a diploma in their hands, but also equipped with the skills to be successful in life and to be great neighbors. I think one of the goals of public education in general is to raise our kids to be the kind of neighbors that we want to have next door to us.
Is teacher staffing, the teacher shortage that was so prevalent during the pandemic, is that still something that you're having to deal head on with?
Absolutely. And I would challenge a lot of people's assumptions about the national teacher shortage and say that it was present before the pandemic. And I think that the pandemic certainly brought this to a higher level of community awareness, but that issue hasn't gone away. If anything, it's become a little bit more complex. It's a tough job to be in, and it's an even tougher job when wages and benefits don't line up with being able to make sure that you can take care of your family. So one of the things that we see is not just in trying to stay competitive in the job market for teacher and staff salaries, but also to make sure that our folks are comfortable enough so that they can stay in the profession for a long period of time, because that experience is worth every bit of investment that we can possibly make. So this budget will be a budget of investment in our staff and an investment in our future.
And I know you all look at teacher salaries around you, and I'm sure that's something you keep a close eye on of wanting to not only retain but also attract teachers to Stafford.
Yeah, and we're primarily competing with Prince William County, I'm not sure that we will ever beat them on price. Stafford County Schools, for being in a relatively wealthy part of the Commonwealth, is actually routinely ranked as one of the lowest funded in terms of school finance. So we do have to find ways to compete not just on price, but on the type of work environment that we have. I'm very proud of the family atmosphere that we have. 70% of contracted staff live in Stafford County, which is remarkable.
That is.
It really is. Our staff are members of our community, and we're so proud of that. And even the folks that aren't living in our community, they're such an integral part of the Stafford County experience for our kids. And we're just grateful that they want to come and work in Stafford County, because it is a great place to live, work, and learn. So to the extent that we can continue to support that, we want to.
In a strange kind of way, I don't know if this plays into it at all, but I do know and we know how awful traffic can be, but a lot of this road construction is wrapping up in a lot of places, and I can remember how difficult it was just to get out to Colonial Forge years ago. And recently going to Colonial Forge, I was thinking, boy, the road improvements that have been made, once some of these road improvements are made, it does get a little bit easier getting around.
Well, we're a very full school system. I tend to think that the best places in this world are the ones that have a line to get in, and Stafford County is definitely on that list. We're a growing community because it is a great community, and keeping pace with road construction, I don't want to opine too much on that because I'm not a VDOT person by any stretch of the imagination, but our community is growing very fast, and
yeah.
And with rapid growth, there's a lot of needs, whether they be road infrastructure needs or the need to build schools and to stay on pace with that. We're welcoming a significant amount of modular classrooms for the first time in a while in Stafford County at several of our elementary schools, because we are filling up, and there's a lot to unpack there.
There is a lot, and we are going to talk about new schools as we go along this morning. One other thing about roads, though, that I should mention is in December there was an accident involving a school bus. And boy, the school bus driver handled it just terrific. And it's the kinds of things you don't think about these things, but when they happen, you want to have someone who knows what you want to have people knowing what they're doing.
If anyone in our community wants to meet a hero, all you need to do is wave at a school bus driver. Our school bus drivers are just absolutely phenomenal, and Mrs. Skidmore, who just absolutely stepped up in a moment of crisis, the highest level of care for her kids, a terrible accident in our community, and our bus driver did absolutely everything right and really stepped in to make sure that the care of her kids, both the physical and the emotional security of our kids, was a top priority. I have to give a lot of credit to our principal, Mike Sidebotham, who is the principal at Grafton Village Elementary School. That was his group of students rushed to the scene to meet with parents and just did an absolutely phenomenal job, as well as our outstanding public safety and sheriff's office, as well as emergency services and fire department. We're just top notch in terms of caring for our kids, caring for our parents, caring for all of those who are on the road. And there are sometimes some really narrow roads that yeah. our buses have to go down, and it can be treacherous at times, but to know that we've got just a really well-trained and committed group of public servants that are there when things don't go well to make sure that everyone is safe is just awesome.
Still a need for bus drivers?
Absolutely. There's always a need for bus drivers. I will say that we seem to be doing better than most because Stafford County is a great place to live, work, and learn. But we are always welcoming new members to our team, and would love to have folks join if they have an interest.
Dr. Thomas Taylor here, the superintendent in Stafford County and for Stafford County Schools. We'll take a break and be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:29.
I have the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Thomas Taylor in this morning. Boy, I will say it's nice to be able to just sit and talk about things, and the COVID isn't part of it, and trying to work around that. And I'm sure just logistically for you, it's and everyone in the schools, it's got to be just a relief.
I think undeniably for everyone in our community, students, parents, staff, last school year was probably the toughest school year that just about anyone experienced coming out of the pandemic, and certainly having to deal with lots of changes to the learning environment, mm-hmm. and how we deal with some of those challenges. It was a tough year. This year definitely has its challenges, definitely has things that we're concerned about, and there's certainly some learning gaps that we're focused on trying to address, but it is a relief to talk school again and to talk about academic programs and to talk about how we make our community better having a great public education system. So it's a thrill.
One of the things, and you've touched on this as we've talked about this morning, Dr. Taylor, that all the things we have talked about, and whether it's programs or funding, this is all an investment in students. That's always your key.
Absolutely. You know, students are about 20% of the population, but they're 100% of our future. So every investment that we make in our schools is really, really making an investment in our future as a community. And when this is done right, our strategic plan and our budget are really singing off of the same sheet of music. So when we're investing in our school system, whether it be to recruit or retain outstanding teachers and staff, or to invest in literacy programs or mathematics programs, or even career and technical education programs, that should all dovetail nicely with what we're offering in terms of a program of study for our children and the direction that we want to see our community go in as a whole.
And ultimately, that's what parents want to hear. I mean, I'm looking at my kids and thinking, how is this program, or how is this in the school helping my student, you know, reach the next level?
So I think that there's a couple of big things that we want to be focused on. The first is the type of skills that we prepare all of our kids for, so that they can be great adults. We want to make sure that they're great communicators, that they can problem solve successfully, that they're great community citizens, and that they give back to their community, that they're creative in how they address challenges. Those are all really important components of what makes our kids successful in life. But the other piece of that is, what kind of academic structures can we put in place to give them some tangible resources that they can lean on as future adults that prepare them for their next step, whether it be employment, enlistment, or enrollment in a post-secondary school. So along those lines, we're spending a lot of our energy right now focused on the type of programs that we might offer at the high school, middle school, and elementary level that will really position our kids so that they can get a great jump start into whatever their post-secondary plans are.
We hear so much, and everybody talks about it now, of how things have changed in recent years, where everybody doesn't have to go to college. Does that change the direction in how you put programs together and in what you offer in schools?
Absolutely. I want to give a lot of credit to our economic development office in the county, and to a lot of our partners in the community who are working really seamlessly with us to target the kind of things that we know our kids are going to need to have an impact locally in the region, but also in the Commonwealth. And what are the career pathways that are likely for our kids where they can have a successful living and also be able to give back. And a good example of this would be our growing cybersecurity community in Stafford County. We're very much invested in how we might develop different career pathways that feed into and support our growing cybersecurity community. So us working very closely with some of our community partners, it does make a difference because their insights have informed the type of programs that we offer and the type of classes that we offer to our kids.
Well, and I would, everybody looks for those kinds of things. And I think just, you know, we talked this morning about the program where you've got a student sits on the school board. That's something Germana offers, a lot of work study kinds of things, and are able to involve high school students can go early. There are a lot of options, and like you say, even some of the businesses coming into Stafford helps too.
So this past fall, the school board adopted a program of study, and there's two really big changes in this year's program of study, and really a preview into the next program of study, which will even be more substantial changes. The first big change is we wanted to give our parents in a community a K through 12 glimpse of what our students are learning. So for the first time, this was not just a high school or a middle school program of studies, but a K through 12 total picture experience of what our students are learning and how all of those things connect from kindergarten all the way through the 12th grade, and what those seamless themes are that can be connected all the way through the grade levels and how students might progress. I think it's really helpful for elementary school parents to see what the future holds and to see how different pathways that they could explore might lead to different outcomes in terms of what kids might want to do in their future. That doesn't mean that they need to settle on a career path or a career desire or know exactly what they want to do in high school. That's kind of the fun of growing up.
Yeah,
is to try lots of different things, but to know that we have options and different things to explore. The second big thing that we're really excited about is a preview of big changes to come. We know that. We do a great job of preparing kids for a general a diploma, and we have a handful of specialized offerings, but we think that we could be a little bit more concrete in terms of offering really defined pathways for areas of exploration, whether they be in business or communications, whether they be in leadership or international relations, whether they be in the biomedical space or whether they be in aviation. We know that there's a lot of industries locally that we could be focusing on that could translate into some really great opportunities and some really great outcomes for our kids. It's a huge part of our strategic plan. It's the first goal in our strategic plan is meaningful post-secondary outcomes for our kids. And this is the fun part where we get to design programs that are going to lead to those great outcomes.
This is so different than I remember school, because when I went through school, it was just you were in whatever grade and you went to the next grade. And there was not this looking ahead. And this is exciting.
Well, our kids are smart. Our kids are bright.
Oh, they are.
They have access to the world that maybe the generations before them didn't have, and we can either ignore it or we can leverage it. And you know, we're choosing to really leverage our kids and their brilliance and to try to translate that into some great opportunities for them.
This is what I like about you, because we can sit and talk about a strategic plan, and usually in many forms of government or businesses, you talk about a strategic plans and you just glaze over. But you make it exciting. You make it sound exciting, and it is exciting the way you present this.
Well, that's kind of you to say. I will say a lot of folks are really good at creating a strategic plan, and a lot of them collect a lot of dust. Our aim really is for this to be a living document. I'm so proud of the work of the school board in really honing in on the goals that they wanted to accomplish, and I think we've got something that's really going to help elevate our community and elevate Stafford.
That's what you've talked about, elevating Stafford. I guess that's what you want to do. And I mean, it's these kinds of things, and looking ahead, it helps parents sort of be able to counsel their kids, and for kids, like you say, to be able to look at things and say, I might want to do that, or you know, I want to go for that.
That's right.
And that's what this is all about. So this plan, is this the kind of thing that's going to be rolled out over the next little bit, or what's the plan for how you implement something like this?
So our 5-year strategic plan is just that. We fully acknowledge that the world is likely to change in the next several years, and we want to be nimble enough to account for that. Our plan is really divided into 4 goals that are all seamlessly connected to one another. The first big one, as I mentioned, is how we might create programs to support meaningful post-secondary outcomes for our kids. Our goal is really simple. 100% of our graduates, we want to either be enrolled in a post-secondary school, enlisted, or employed upon graduation, or have a plan to do so. That we know about, and that's a really simple idea mm-hmm. for folks to get their heads wrapped around.
Sure.
Another big goal in our strategic plan is raising the expectations for academic performance. We've noticed that even before the pandemic, we had some challenges in literacy and mathematics, a little bit of a slow drip, and then of course a steep drop off during the pandemic. And there's a lot of work that we need to do in that space. Because these are not just academic skills, they are life skills. And this is the gateway to the future for our kids to make sure that they are able to communicate and read at a high level, and that they're able to hone their computational skills in a meaningful way to make great decisions and to problem solve. Another big part of our strategic plan, our third goal, is about the learning environment that we have. And I know that we plan to close out talking about space and schools and growth, and that's a big part of yeah. making sure that we've got an optimal learning environment for our kids. It's last on our strategic plan in terms of goals, but it's the foundation for a lot of things, is how we invest in our staff so that they can invest in our kids.
Dr. Thomas Taylor, Stafford School Superintendent, here this morning. I can't believe we've gone now, we're 45 minutes into the show, and we haven't really talked about the most important thing that you do, school closings in the winter with snow. You haven't had to do that this year.
We've had a remarkably mild winter, and I think we're all delighted that we haven't had the snowpocalypse that we had last January.
Yes.
But I think the kids in Stafford, and I think the kids in the region, would like maybe just one snow day before 2023 ends up.
See, that's what she told me before. When we were sitting around talking before the show, and that's where we part ways there. School closings, other than when you do have something like we had January 3rd last year, I mean, that's an easy one, but some of these days, I mean, it's a tough call. We'd be you hate to lose the days, but you don't want to put anybody at risk.
Well, I am very fortunate to work with outstanding professionals who have a lot better training than I do in terms of recognizing the temperature needs and challenges that come from inclement weather. We work very closely with our emergency services, our county government, our sheriff's department, fire and rescue as well. There's a lot of collaborative work that goes on behind the scenes. Of course, a lot of that collaborative work happens typically at 3 and 4 o'clock in the
right.
morning. So it's over coffee on an early start usually when that sort of thing happens. Safety is our primary goal.
Yeah.
Just like when there happens to be an accident on the road, we just encourage everybody to stay safe out there. And it may be an inconvenience to have a school closure or even a delay. And we know how frustrating that is for families and with childcare and work and jobs. But safety is really at the top of our list, and it's our number one priority.
Well, you have people driving. You've got people driving the roads. And, I mean, it's a – You have, like you say, there is a large crew involved in giving you the information that you ultimately get.
Absolutely, there's a group of us that are out at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and there's a handful of roads that we know are definitely sticking points for the county that that could force a closure or a delay, and we're all talking to each other well before dawn.
Well, and Stafford is such a big county, and you're having to deal with the type of roads, narrow roads, and what might be the situation in South Stafford. You get to Hartwood or Mountain View or to the west, it can be totally different.
It certainly can.
And everybody, it's everybody's a Monday morning quarterback, and I can't believe there's not school.
Well, I would like to think that even though nobody on my team has a meteorologist background, we seem to do a little bit better than weather forecast.
I think so. Dr. Thomas Taylor here, Stafford School Superintendent. We'll all come back and wrap this up by talking about new schools on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Thomas Taylor in this morning. As we have talked about growth, I can't believe that Stafford County Schools, because it's been a few years since we have talked about building schools, but another high school, and it's an elementary school you're also looking at.
Yes, we are so excited about what our developments in Stafford County. Now, this is overdue. There's a lot of need.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the High School 6 project for many, many years in Stafford County, and if you've sat in the line on Route 1, or if you've sat off of Mountain View Road trying to get into a couple of our high schools, or even on Courthouse trying to get into Brook Point or Colonial Forge, you know that our schools are very full, and the need for High School 6 is definitely upon us. We're so thrilled. We've begun the clearing of the property, and soon we'll begin construction after a groundbreaking and just to open in a few years. It does take a couple of years to build a school. That's a little bit complicated with supply chain issues and labor in the construction market right now. But the fact that we're finally moving forward and we're finally making ground in that space is terrific. But our latest development is elementary school number 18. I have to give so much credit to our school board and board of supervisors, and they really have been just a model governance team in terms of looking at a challenging problem, dealing with available resources, and making priorities on how to solve some of those challenging issues. They've worked really well together in recent months on trying to unpack how we might solve this growth challenge. Our elementary schools are growing very quickly, and of course that growth at elementary schools means that there'll be growth at middle schools and growth at high schools as well. So them focusing on the needs of our community in terms of building new schools, it's been a really long time in Stafford County since we built new schools for growth. We did do a renovation of Moncure Elementary School a few years ago, which added a lot of seats, and that was great, but it wasn't a new school for growth. The last one for growth was back in 2008 with the addition of Shirley High Middle School.
That's right. I was trying to think. What would that be?
It was a while ago. So nearly a decade and a half ago since our last school was built for growth. So adding Elementary School 18 in the southern part of the county, this is a huge step in the right direction. Both the school board and the board of supervisors recognize the need also for a school to relieve some of the pressure in the central part of the county, in the courthouse area of the county as well, which will also have a domino impact on a lot of our schools. Every single magisterial district in Stafford County will benefit from the relief that will be created by adding new schools online. We also have an aging infrastructure in Stafford County, and this is at the top of our minds, and certainly weighs heavy on our hearts. The oldest school in Stafford County is the Gary Melchers Complex, where our Rising Star Early Childhood Learning Center is. It was built in 1935, and it's still online. It's well outlived its useful life. Drew Middle School
is
the top priority for both the county and the school board in terms of replacement needs. And of course, we also have an elementary school on Well and Septic, Hartwood Elementary School, that has also outlived its useful life, and we need to start making plans for its replacement as well. So we've got both replacement projects that are in the queue and that we need to be mindful of, and as well as growth projects that we're addressing. And my compliments to both the school board and the board of supervisors for working together to try and solve those challenges.
Where's the new high school going to be at?
So right off of 17 and in between 17 and Truslow Road.
Okay.
You see signs that we've already put up, future home of our high school 6 yet to be named. School colors yet to be selected, mascot yet to be selected. Can't wait to see what our kids and our community come up with for that.
Was Colonial Forge the newest? Was that the last new high school?
That is the last new high school.
New one, yeah.
And that was in the early 2000s.
Stafford High School was rebuilt.
Yes.
So, well, exciting times. We've got that to talk about for
Absolutely.
The next few years. You, by the way, have held and continue to hold a lot of community meetings on these, or just you make yourself available. If people have questions, they can find you, Dr. Taylor.
Oh, thank you for saying that. One of the best things about Stafford County is that we are a big school system, but we are a bit of a small community in that everyone can be reached by phone or email, and we love to talk to folks. We have a lot of community engagement events, whether it's about elementary school 18 or whether it's just a listen and learn activity. It's an open mic night when you come and talk to the school superintendent in Stafford County.
Dr. Thomas Taylor. Dr. Taylor, thank you. I appreciate this, and we will do much more of this and won't wait so long the next time. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Thomas Taylor, Stafford School Superintendent. That is it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.